So this is my sermon for the third Sunday in Lent. We are more than halfway through. Name of my sermon is, Surely God is My Salvation. Have you ever noticed or wondered how well you really know someone? I've been married to Sarah for 38 years. We've known each other for 41 years, and I am still discovering things about Sarah. I'm still, maybe I discovered them before and I forgot, but I am just fascinated by things I learn about Sarah after all these years. And each year, Advent gives us another cycle of 4 weeks to get to know God. And specifically, Jesus coming as a baby. Advent invites us to engage in this kind of both and thinking as we learn about God. Because the more we learn about God, the more we understand that God is not simple. God is a God of paradoxes. God is a God of opposites being held in tension. Listen to the images we have about God. God is both a lion and a lamb. God is both fire and water. God is both an eagle and a mother hen. God is both a lamp and a rock. A rock. And Jesus doesn't help in this. Jesus described himself in many ways. He described himself as bread, as light, as a vine, as a door, as a road. And if we go to the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, well, look at that. Wind and fire, a dove, and a companion. So we need to think of God in this paradoxical way. We need to think of God both and in order to express how deep and rich and endless God truly is. And so once again in our church year, we have these 4 weeks to be reminded that it's not a baby. It's God that is coming. So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth fill this your beloved worshiping community with your presence, your love, your magnificently diverse character and unendlessly loving person. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, third week of Apocalypse. Got to ask you a question. We may not have an answer, but I'm going to ask the question. Are we in Advent or are we in Apocalypse? Last week, remember I said both and? Well, last week we had Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. Who will be able to stand up to his coming? He'll be like a white hot fire. And this week, here's the and part in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. So what's going on? Is it fire or is it water? We are in a very particular kind of scripture right now. It's called apocalyptic scripture. And apocalyptic scripture always is based on both and. It always has references to times of trial, and it always has references to times of salvation. Apocalyptic literature always comes down to this: surely God is my salvation. But, let's get to the real question. Are we there yet? Daddy, we're driving in the car for so many hours. Are we there? You remember those days? We are kind of stuck waiting. And since we're kind of stuck waiting, let's talk about waiting. You know, you have a choice. Waiting can be passive. When I lived in Virginia and I'd go to the DMV to get my license plates, I used to sit and sit and sit. I was passively waiting. But we also have a choice to be active in the way we wait. Years ago, when I graduated from college and I lived in a house with housemates, every so often, one of the sets of parents would come visit. And for a week before the parents' visit, everybody was like rushing around cleaning and vacuuming and washing and all these things to get ready. So we can wait actively for Jesus, or we can wait passively for Jesus. What kind of waiting are you doing? Are you doing the sitting down waiting, or are you doing the spiffing up waiting? And is the house of your heart and soul cleaner than it was during last year's arrival of the birth of Jesus? Are we there yet? But we do have good news. I feel like we've reached that tipping point in our journey where we are in the good news. And the good news this week is in our scripture from Isaiah. We are being brought closer to the coming of joy. Did you notice the phrase in verse 3? With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. How many people caught that wells is plural? I did not the first couple times I read that. I just read it as, wells of salvation, whatever, blah, blah. It's plural. And how do you describe that or understand that? Where does salvation come from? Well, the Jewish people were very attuned to wells because they lived in a hot, dry climate. If they couldn't find a well, if the well failed, then they could die. They understood thirst. The Jewish people understood dehydration. And if you look in the Old Testament, they had this unfortunate habit of praising God and God helping them, and then for some crazy reason, ignoring God, and then being like put into captivity, made slaves, losing battles, etc. Unfortunate habit. The Jewish people understood spiritual thirst. They knew what it was like to be abandoned by God. And so when Isaiah talks about the wells of salvation, he is talking to the Jewish people about the wells that physically bring life. Because without those wells, they would die. But Isaiah, as God's prophet, is also talking about the spiritual well of salvation. But did you notice it's plural? Does anybody want to say why? I put you on the spot, didn't I? God is the well of salvation, no question. But why does our scripture very specifically make that word plural? You see, because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, there's an answer here. It says this, we love because God first loves us. You see, we love because God's love first overflowed into us and on us. And when we get to the wells of salvation, it's not just about God doing all the heavy lifting. It's about God's love overflowing unto us. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, we are those wells of salvation for people in concert with God as the well of salvation. I have relatives. I My family in Pennsylvania grew up near Oil City. Oil City is named Oil City because it's where they discovered oil, or Titusville, thereabouts. Have you ever seen a well like in the movies when they discover oil? They're drilling and drilling and drilling, and all of a sudden there's a little thing that comes up. And then before you know it, the oil underneath the ground shoots up into a geyser. And people run around going, "It's a geyser!" And as they yell that, they're covered in oil because it starts coming down on them. This is God's love overflowing on us. I have been noticing for months now that you are, this community is like that geyser. We have been tapped into by the love and grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And our waters of salvation, God's love flowing onto us, are flowing onto all the people around us. We did 13 Halloween, no, that's not right, Thanksgiving dinners. We have 13 more going out at the end of this week for Christmas. We have a food pantry. We had our Christmas parade. How many people were there? A lot of people were there. We are proclaiming God's love and grace. We are touching people in this community as we have not touched in a long time. The pandemic came along and it, in many cases, dried up people's faith and dried up people's interest in connecting with other people. But in this community, by the action of the Holy Spirit, you're fellowship and faith and prayers have been that geyser that just keeps overflowing and overflowing. We love because God first loved us, and you are showing this community God's love in this world. Just this morning, we finalized, we are going to be working with the bowls. What's that called?
Empty bowls.
For Talbot County this year. You see the way this works. Once the ground is broken, once the water starts flowing, it just keeps flowing. We had a long list of events for the month of December. I mean, I looked at that and I thought, oh, that's a lot. But that's the point. Because once the ground breaks and the water starts flowing, it just keeps flowing. So, at this moment, in this time of learning about how varied and deep and awesome God is, at this moment in time, as I ask you, is your soul cleaner, metaphorically speaking, this year than last year as you await the arrival of Jesus? We are also celebrating that we are growing into our calling to be wells for God's love. And the most amazing thing about God's love, and the most amazing thing that Advent is trying to tell us, is that God, the creator of the universe, has found a way to save his creation from within his creation. God is not saving his creation with angels and armies. God's not being Mr. Large and in charge. He's saving his creation from within. The well of our salvation is in a human woman at its heart. Professor Ben Skibienski says this most beautifully. The moving water in the well of salvation, in the Christmas story, is the waters of childbirth. Water flowed from Mary, and from this fountain came Jesus. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 nose, 1 mouth, heart that loved, lungs that breathed, hands that healed. The incarnation and salvation came from the waters of childbirth. Professor Skibienski just said that and way more beautifully than I ever could. But this is so astonishing. Our salvation is coming from creation. God so loved us and created us in his image such that we can be loving people and giving people as he is giving to us. And so, Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, third week of Advent, what kind of Advent are you waiting? Are you in the sitting down Advent? Or are you in the spiffing up Advent? So, may God, creator of our universe, the well of our salvation, continue to bless us because we give a crap. Yeah, I talked about this last week. That's why I brought the toilet paper back. But remember, CRAP is Christians rejoicing and proclaiming. And we are Christians rejoicing and proclaiming God's love, God's salvation, God's coming. And we're doing all of this with thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.